Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 through 20. This is the reading of God's Word. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illumined with his glory. And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality." I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back, even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds. In the cup which she has mixed, mix twice as much for her. To the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree give her torment and mourning. For she says in her heart, 'I sit as a queen and I am not a widow and will never see mourning.' For this reason, in one day her plagues will come: pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong. And the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and lived sensuously with her will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, 'Woe, woe, the great city Babylon, the strong city, for in one hour your judgment has come.' And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen, and purple, and silk, and scarlet, and every kind of citron wood, and every article of ivory, and every article made from very costly wood, and bronze, and iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and spice, and incense, and perfume, and frankincense, and wine, and olive oil, and the flour, and wheat, and cattle, and sheep, and cargoes of horses and chariots and slaves and human lives. The fruit you long for has gone from you, and all things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away from you, and men will no longer find them. The merchants of these things who became rich from her will stand at a distance because of the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning, saying, 'Woe, woe, the great city, she who was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour such great wealth has been laid waste, and every shipmaster and every passenger and sailor and as many as make their living by the sea stood at a distance and were crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, 'What city is like the great city?' And they threw dust on their heads and were crying out, weeping and mourning, saying, 'Woe, woe, the great city in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth, for in one hour she has been laid waste. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would use the person who is preaching to bring your word to your people. Grant us, all your people, an ear to hear your voice through your word. Let us receive with joy, but also let us believe and let us obey. O Father, as we hear your word, let our faith grow. Let us mature in your word, being more and more like your Son. We pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We start chapter 18 today. The harlot, the great city, Babylon. We already studied the nature of this Babylon. It is the city of man that is built according to the spirit of 666, meaning man-centered and this world-centered. That's what the spirit of 666 is all about. It's all about why here and now, this world, not heaven. And it's all about man, not God. This Babylon is built upon that principle. It is the world that is in terms of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the boastful pride of life. It includes the false religions and false Christianity. The eternal judgment is being poured out upon this harlot. She is completely and eternally destroyed. And even as we start this chapter, I want you to think about this. We're starting the book of Revelation, and I just want you to notice something. That why would God spend so much space telling us over and over and over again the destruction of this world? He told us about it through the seven seals judgment. We already looked at it. He told us the same thing through seven trumpet judgments. And he told us through seven bowls of judgment. But that is not enough. Now, starting from chapter 18, chapter 17 and chapter 18, he focuses two chapters on this destruction of Babylon. And chapter 19, chapter 20, chapter 20 tells us the final destruction that Satan and all of his followers, God sending them to hell. So you ask yourself, why does God, not just once, but over and over and over and over again, through so many chapters, tells us the eternal judgment that is being poured upon this world? And I think it will do good for you to really contemplate on that question. Why does God do this? Well, let's study this chapter, verse 1. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illumined with his glory. Who is this angel? Other personalities that we have met so far in this book are described as the ones who were given authority. But here, this angel is said to have, see, not given, but have great authority. And with his glory, the earth is illumined. He is compared here to the sun. Do you remember in chapter 1, verse 16b, it says about Jesus, his face was like the sun shining in its strength. Do you remember chapter 10, verse 1, I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was like the sun. When we studied that chapter 10, we conclude that that strong angel was Jesus Christ. Ezekiel chapter 43 verse 2 says, behold, the glory of God of Israel was coming from the way of the east, and his voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. So we have the same phrase. And here is talking about God. Putting all these verses together, the angel in our passage is Jesus Christ. And also the earth being illumined points to the revealing of the sins of this world. John chapter 3 verse 20 through 21. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. There are two kinds of people who just don't come to the light, because when they come to the light, then they have to confess that they are sinners. They will see their filth. So they don't come to the light. They like the darkness. But there are other groups, Christians, who do come to the light, because when we do come to the light, and if we do anything good, then we will be able to witness to the whole world that whatever that we have done good is from God, not us. So here, Jesus will shine his light, and one day when he comes to judge the world, there nothing will be hidden. Everything will be revealed. So, Jesus Christ is coming down from heaven. And verse 2, and he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. The Babylon with all of her magnificent earthly splendor is completely passed away, completely destroyed. Verse 5, for her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. What are her sins? We could name few. Spiritual prostitution, idolatry, rejecting God and exalting and boasting men, pride, love of the money, and persecuting the church. Fallen, fallen. This angel says, fallen, fallen. He says twice. And I want you to notice that those words, fallen, fallen, are in the past tense. Her destruction is so certain. Her destruction is so certain as if it has already happened. That's the force of those words. Fallen, fallen. The whole chapter 18 is full of Old Testament terms that were used to describe the destruction of the Old Testament Babylon. With those terms, the chapter 18 describes the destruction of the eschatological Babylon, which is this sinful world. So, as we are learning about the destruction of the eschatological, just meaning, you know, the world, the end Babylon. Not the type Babylon in the Old Testament, but the Babylon that the Old Testament Babylon was pointing to. But what's interesting is that when we read chapter 18, the description of the destruction of the Babylon is in terms of the language that was used in the Old Testament to describe the Old Testament Babylon's destruction. So it will be helpful for us to go back to Old Testament and read those passages that describes the destruction of the Old Testament Babylon, so that we may learn fully what our passage is talking about. So let us go to Isaiah 21. Understand that Old Testament Babylon was pointing to the Babylon, this sinful world. And the destruction of the Old Testament Babylon is pointing to the eternal destruction of this world that Jesus will bring. Isaiah 21, verse 9. Now behold, here comes a troop. 21:9. Now behold, here comes a troop of riders, horsemen in pairs, and one said, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon, and all the images of her gods are shattered on the ground." If you go to Isaiah 13, verse 19. And Babylon, the beauty of kingdoms, the glory of the Chaldeans' pride, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. It will never be inhabited or lived in from generation to generation, nor will the Arab pitch his tent there, nor will shepherds make their flocks lie down there. But desert creatures will lie down there, and their houses will be full of owls. Ostrich also will be there, and shaggy goats will frolic there. Hyenas will howl in their fortified towers, and jackals in their luxurious palaces. Her faithful time also will soon come, and her days will not be prolonged. The city is now full of animals. It is no longer inhabitable by people. That's the point. So look at how the Old Testament describes the destruction of the Babylon. Now it's the whole city is full of animals. And you get the point, what God is trying to say. Zephaniah chapter 2. Zephaniah chapter 2. If you cannot find it, just listen then. Chapter 2, verse 13 through 15. And he will stretch out his hand against north and destroy Assyria, and he will make Nineveh a desolation, parched like the wilderness. Flocks will lie down in her midst, all beasts which range in hers, both the pelican and the hedgehog, and will lodge in the tops of her pillars. Birds will sing in the window, desolation will be on the threshold, for he has laid bare the cedar work. This is the exultant city, which dwells securely, who says in her heart, I am and there is no one besides me. How she has become a desolation, a resting place for beasts. Everyone who passed by her will hiss and wave his hand in contempt. Now, this is how you study the Bible. We come to Revelation 18, and Revelation 18 says that the Babylon has become a dwelling place of demons and prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. Now, you might wonder, why does God describe a destruction, the destruction of Babylon in this term? Well, if you read the Old Testament, you know why. Because in the Old Testament, the destruction of the Babylon was described the same way. That God will bring destruction upon Babylon so that the place, Babylon, the city, is no longer inhabitable by people. It has become a prison for animals. So when you read those Old Testament passages and bring that understanding to what we're reading, you get the point. You get what God is trying to tell us. In our passage, the sinful world has become a dwelling place of demons, every unclean spirit, and every unclean and hateful bird. A prison, even for the animals. Complete destruction. Let us go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50. I really need to get a new glasses. Man, it's hard to read my Bible. Jeremiah 50 verse 1. The word which the Lord spoke concerning Babylon, the land of the Chaldeans, through Jeremiah the prophet, declare and proclaim among the nations, proclaim it and lift up a standard, do not conceal it, but say, Babylon has been captured, Bel has been put to shame, Marduk has been shattered, her images have been put to shame, her idols have been shattered. For a nation has come up against her out of the north. It will make her land an object of horror, and there will be no inhabitants in it. Both man and beast have wandered off. They have gone away. Go down to verse 21. Against the land of Marathim, go up against it, and against the inhabitants of Pekah, slay and utterly destroy them, declares the Lord, and do according to all that I have commanded you. The noise of battle is in the land, and great destruction. How the hammer of the whole earth, the hammer of the whole earth is referring to Babylon. Babylon was the hammer of the whole earth. So verse 23, how the hammer of the whole earth has been cut off and broken. How Babylon has become an object of horror among the nations. Go down to verse 29. Summon many against Babylon, all those who bend the bow and camp against her on every side. Let there be no escape. Repay her according to her work, according to all that she has done, so do to her. For she has become arrogant against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, her young men will fall in her streets, and all her men of war will be silenced in that day, declares the Lord. Behold, I am against you, O arrogant one, declares the Lord, God of hosts. For your day has come, the time when I will punish you. The arrogant one will stumble and fall with no one to raise him up, and I will set fire to his cities, and it will devour all his environs. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the sons of Israel are oppressed, and the son of Judah as well. And all who took them captive have held them fast. They have refused to let them go. So here, this Babylon is persecuting God's people. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He will vigorously plead their case so that he may bring rest to the earth, but turmoil to the inhabitants of Babylon. And go to chapter 51, verse 7. Babylon has been a golden cup in the hands of the Lord, intoxicating all the earth. The nations have drunk of her wine. Therefore, the nations are going mad. Suddenly, Babylon has fallen, been broken. Same kind of language that we see in Revelation chapter 18. In Ezekiel chapters 26 through 28, we see the destruction of Tyre, the nation Tyre, and her king. Well, let us go there, Ezekiel. Because, again, there, it's not Babylon, but the language that we read in chapter 18 of Revelation, we will see in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 27, verse 1. Moreover, the words of the Lord came to me, saying, and you, son of man, take up a lamentation over Tyre. Again, God is telling us about destruction of Tyre, but if you go down to verse 12, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, we see the nation Tyre in trading with other countries, and Tyre has become a rich country because of this trade with other nations, just like what we read in chapter 18. If you go down to Ezekiel 27, verse 24, let me read to you. They traded with you in choice garments, in clothes of blue and embroidered work, and in carpets of many colors and tightly wound cords, which were among your merchandise. The ships of Tarshish were the carriers for your merchandise, and you were filled and were very glorious in the heart of the sea. Just like the Babylon, the Tyre is glorious. They were doing very well in this world. Verse 26, your rowers have brought you into great waters. The east wind has broken you in the heart of the seas. Your wealth, your wares, your merchandise, your sailors and your pilots, your repairers and seams, your dealers in merchandise, and all your men of war who are in you, with all your company that is in your midst, will fall into the heart of the sea on the day of your overthrow. At the sound of the cry of your pilots, the pasture lands will shake. All who handle the oar, the sailors and all the pilots of the sea, will come down from their ships. They will stand on the land, And they will make their voice heard over you and will cry bitterly. They will cast dust on their heads. They will wallow in ashes. Also, they will make themselves bald for you, for gird themselves with sackcloth, and they will weep for you in bitterness of soul with bitter mourning. Moreover, in their wailing, they will take up a lamentation for you and lament over you. Who is like Tyre? Just same language, right? Who is like Babylon that we read in chapter 18? Like her who is silent in the midst of the sea. All of these things are a type pointing to the destruction of the great eschatological Babylon, this sinful world. All the pomp and splendor are gone, and the filthy and ugly nature of this world is revealed, and by the judgment of God, it is eternally destroyed. And that is what we're looking at in chapter 18. Verse 3. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants, businessmen of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. The whole sinful world is drunk with the wine of the passion of the harlot's immorality. The kings of the earth, the people who hold the power, the merchants of the earth, the businessmen, they have become rich by the wealth of harlot's sensuality. This is the deception of Satan. Chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs, for they are spirits of demons performing signs, which go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them together for the war of great day of God the Almighty. Satan is lying to the people, and he gathers his people for the war with the church. Chapter 13, verse 14. And he deceives, beast, deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of sore and has come to life. Whole world is deceived. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. But Satan's lie is different. Why not serve God so that we could have money? But when you do that, you're actually worshiping the money. See, so many people think that they come and serve God, somehow God's going to give them wealth. That is not what the Bible teaches us. Do not be deceived. You cannot serve God and at the same time money. Love of the money, God says, is the root of every evil. And when you serve the money, I pray that you will see the destruction of those people who live like that. The complete destruction of this sinful world. And God says, come out of her. Do not participate in her sins. The whole world is deceived by the heartless temptation. The sinful world worships the money, worships the sinful pleasure, worships the power and the glory of this world. Now, we must remember that the things of this world themselves are not bad. We're not saying that. Money itself is not bad. Love of the money is root of evil. But money itself is not bad. The issue is, how are we to use them? For what purpose are we using them? We must use everything for the glory of God. But the sinful world worships them. The people of this world are the slaves of money. The money itself became their purpose and their God. And this is exactly what the spirit of 666 is all about. For this sinful world, everything is in terms of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the boasting pride of life. We must remember who we are in Jesus Christ. We are His kings. We are His priests. We are His prophets. We cannot ignore our eternal identity as we pursue the things in this world. Simply put, I believe that God spends so much space telling us the destruction of the world. Is telling us, showing us how empty it is to pursue the things of the world. There's nothing there. Do not be deceived. You think that if you are pursue something and you're successful, that that's going to make you happy. There's nothing there. It's complete destruction. And that's what God is trying to tell you. But this simple people, and we are included there, we like this world. We want this world. And many times we want this world more than God. But God is being faithful to you, God is being gracious to you. He's telling you that that kind of life is not worth anything. At the end, you will be so sorry. Let us listen to what He's telling us. Verse 4. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. He calls us my people. This is just amazing. My people, come out of her. God's people must not participate in heartless sins. We have been saved out of this world. Through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have been dead to this world, and this world is dead to us. We must remember that. And we will look at this verse, verse 4, in more detail next time. Next time, my whole sermon is concentrate on this verse, verse 4. Well, let us continue then. Verse 6 and 8. Pay her back even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds in the cup which she has mixed, mix twice as much for her. Verse 8. For this reason, in one day her plagues will come, pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong. The word that is translated as double here has the meaning of the word duplicate. So rather than understanding as a double, you know, she sinned, like, if we put number to it, she sins 10 and God's judgment is like 20. That's not what the point of this verse. The double, if you use the word duplicate, then the meaning becomes more clear. The judgment is according to her sin. And her judgment will come in one day. The judgment comes without warning. It comes suddenly, unexpectedly. That's why in verse 10 it says in 1 hour. Verse 19, again, in 1 hour her judgment comes. Verse 7, to the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree give her torment and mourning. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen and I am not a widow and will never see mourning. Widow, being a widow and mourning is all point of God's judgment in the Old Testament, right? But what does the Babylon, the harlot, say to herself? I'm not going to be destroyed. I will never mourn. I sit as the queen. The sinful world seems that she will never be destroyed. The world thinks that the world is becoming a better place for them. Utopia. They talk about utopia. The heaven in this world. The worldly heaven. False security. Just because, you know, America or this world thinks they are so wealthy and they are so strong, who can destroy us? Do you remember Revelation chapter 3, verse 17? Church in Laodicea, they say, because you say, they say what? I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. See, this world says, I'm rich, I'm strong. Who's going to destroy us? They do not know that they're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked in the eyes of God. The arrogance. Isaiah 14. We learn something about Satan here. Isaiah 14. Verse 12. How you have fallen from heaven, Satan. O star of morning, son of the dawn, you have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. And I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recess of north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. This is what the world says. We are God. What God? Just like Pharaoh. Who is God that I may serve him? Nevertheless, verse 15, you will be thrust down to Sheol, thrust down to hell. To the recesses of the pit. And that's their final destruction, no matter how arrogant they are. Isaiah 47. Verse 7. Yet you say, I will be a queen forever. See, just like Revelation 18, here we have Babylon. I will be a queen forever. These things you did not consider nor remember the outcome of them. Now then, hear this, you sensual one, who dwells securely, who says in your heart, I am, and there is no one besides me. I will not sit as a widow, nor know loss of children. But these two things will come on you suddenly in one day. Loss of children and widowhood, they will come on you in full measure, in spite of your many sorceries, in spite of the great power of your spells. You felt secure in your wickedness and said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge, they have deluded you. For you have said in your heart, I am, and there is no one besides me. But evil will come on you, which you will not know how to charm away, and disaster will fall on you, for which you cannot atone, and destruction about which you do not know will come on you suddenly. False security. How about you guys? How about us? What is your security? Some people feel secure if they have a lot of money in the bank. Some feel secure if they have great jobs. Some feel secure just because they went to good college and getting good grades. They think that that's what life is all about and that's what saves them, make them safe. No. Our security is Jesus Christ and Him alone. Everything else will be destroyed. Now, as the sinful world sees the eternal destruction of harlot, it mourns. They are very, very sad. And from verse 9 through 10, then we're seeing what? Mourning of the kings of the world. Verse 9 through 10. And the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and lived sensuously with her will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, woe, woe, the great city Babylon, the strong city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. And from verses 11 to the 16, we see merchants, the businessmen of this world, they are mourning. Verse 11. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. And you read the rest of it. And from verses 17 through 19, the shipmaster, passengers, sailors, and all who make their living by the sea. And this kind of language, I want you to understand that it is language of the time. You know, if a Bible is written today, I don't think it will be just, sea sailors. Now we have airplane pilots and, all those things will be included if a Bible is written today. But you get the point. You understand what God is saying. Luke chapter 12. Bear with me here. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. Listen carefully to this parable that Jesus tells us. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who store up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. This is how the people of this world lives. They have a great pension plan. They have so much money in the bank. And they just store up so much treasure of this world and saying to themselves, because I have all this, now I could just live safely. But God says, but you're going to die today. I'm bringing you in, so to speak. Then what? This is how the world lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 31, and those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it, for the form of this world is passing away. Now that's hard to understand, so here's a loosely translated. Those in frequent contact with the things of the world should make good use of them without becoming attached to them, for this world and all it contains will pass away. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Your life has to be focused on the eternal things. Because if your life is all about the worldly things, then it's going to be so empty at the end. Because you're not going to have any. Everything will be destroyed. Verse 20. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her. Rejoice at the eternal destruction of this world. Two groups, two reactions to the destruction of the world. One group mourns, and the other group is called to rejoice. How about you? To which group do you belong? If all you are working for now, right now, everything that you're putting your energy into right now, this worldly thing that you do, if all that you are pursuing, everything is completely destroyed today. Are you sad? Are you going to cry? Because all your dream and hope and everything that you're looking forward to in this world is gone. Are you sad? Well, we're not sad because we have heaven. We have Jesus Christ. Do you see it here? The world is crying. But God's people are called to rejoice at the destruction of the world. See, non-Christian will never get this. And I'm afraid that some Christians will not get it. Because so-called Christians today, their hope and their desire and their pleasure is in the worldly things. And they too will be sad when these things will be destroyed. But brothers and sisters, all our joy is in Jesus Christ and heaven. It really doesn't matter even if the whole world is destroyed today, we still rejoice. Let me conclude. The judgment comes because of sin. Do you remember verse 5? For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. But what about our sins? You and I, we too deserve the eternal destruction, don't we? We too have been drunk with the wine of the passion of harlots, immorality. why are not we being destroyed? Because God's grace has come upon us. And this is how I want to end our sermon today. Hebrews chapter 8. It is very clear here that the destruction of Babylon is due to her sins. But if we remember, honestly, we are just as sinful. What is the difference? Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. And in today's language, New Testament language, the church. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And go down to verse 12. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Yes, on the cross, God has remembered our sins and poured out His eternal judgment upon our Savior, Jesus Christ, instead. And because of Jesus Christ, God says, I will not remember your sins anymore. Do you know this? That in heaven, forever and ever, God will not remember our sins? This is why God's people are saved from this destruction, because of Jesus. That is why we just cannot participate in the sins of the harlot. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14b, through which the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the cross, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for saving us from the destruction. We hear your voice. We hear your command to come out of the Babylon and not to participate in her sins, so that we will not participate in the judgment that she receives. We thank you that in Christ you have saved us out of Babylon. Let us understand and believe that we have already come out, and we cannot go back, and we do not want to go back. Our home is heaven. And our God is you. Let us continue to be faithful to you in Jesus Christ. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.